All right. Well, thank you for showing up to another wonderful edition of Hug Nation. And I'm Halcyon. I'm here with Grandpa Caleb.
Thank you.
And Tassie. Tassie on the keyboard, on the wheels of steel. And Caleb and I are rocking the mic. Go like this. Go like this. That means we're raising the roof.
Raise the roof.
That's okay. Right. Woo!
Well, I'm all so right. Glad I can do that.
So before we get started, you were talking over at lunch, you were telling us about your first job.
Yes.
And you said... And well, what was it? What was your first job?
My first job was the day after I graduated from high school in Los Angeles, L.A. High School. My uncle said, you need to learn about life. And he had just gone into business with a man named Carpenter. And together, they started the first drive-in stand at Wilshire and Western in Los Angeles. And there I stood on one side of the stand with four boys. And then five girls on the other side of the stand. And we called the names of all the cars that came around Wilshire and Western. And if it came in, then we went out and gave them a menu and smiled, went back and got an aluminum tray and glasses of water for everyone, and come and hung on the car. And then we'd go out and take the order. And man, they had just started selling, learning how to refrigerate chicken. And so from Kansas, they brought out carloads of frozen chicken. And we sold a half of fried chicken for 35 cents.
I'll take one.
And pork sandwiches were 45. Jack Benny always liked ham sandwiches.
Really?
They came in, yeah. Jack Benny came in, Jackie Cooper and Jackie Coogan, and Estelle Taylor, the wife of Jack Dempsey. And I worked on tips only, and I had to pay for my uniform. I wore a green pants with a yellow stripe. Ooh. And a yellow vest, and then had a military cap and a bow tie, black bow tie.
Dapper.
And I would work, I earned my way through college. I earned my way through L.A. City College, the first college. The City College was built right after UCLA moved out to the Westwood campus. And I would ride a streetcar.
Really?
You know what a streetcar is?
Sure.
I'd ride a streetcar from West Adams Boulevard down to Vermont, get on Vermont, change, and go up to Wilshire, and ride back out Wilshire on a streetcar.
And this, you're talking about this as if you happened last month. So how long ago is this?
It's real. It's 1936.
1936. You were working at the drive-in. Drive-thru.
I know. 1930. I was working at the drive-in. It opens a few weeks before.
Wow.
And I worked at Wilshire and Western, and I worked also at Sunset and Vine. Mr. Carpenter and my uncle had two stations, these two places, and we served malted milkshakes for 15 cents.
Mm.
Oh.
What did they pay you?
We worked on tips.
Oh, that's right.
On tips only, and I earned my way through college. In fact, when I went on to Redlands, I came down... And my little Ford that I bought and came down on Friday afternoon and worked that Friday night. I'd go to work and work all night sometimes. The best business, the best tips was after midnight, of course.
Sure, you get the alcohol factor.
Well, three two beer is all you sold. 3-2 beer. But I did see a man get drunk on 3-2 beer. I don't know what happened, but I had served him about 16 bottles of 3-2 beer, and he finally started driving out, and he ran into a telephone pole. 3-2 beer, that's all you can bet, besides speakeasy stuff.
That was an
exciting period.
Now, you said that during that experience, it taught you about, two things.
I learned about money. I learned to change better than I ever had before. You always begin with the bill, and then you keep adding on. You begin the bill. And secondly, if you would throw the nickels and dimes and quarters or half dollars on the side of the tray. And you learn to throw the money out so that what you really expected would be 10% and it'd be on the far side of the tray.
Really?
So they'd know that you're expecting a tip. Jack Benny was good for a 40, 50 cent tip.
That sounds like a lot of money.
He was very generous in those days.
For that kind of money, you could get a chicken and a malted.
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
And I'd work every weekend, then go back to college on the next Monday in my car. It was exciting. That was the first time we began having the outdoor restaurants. In fact, my Uncle Henry, who also owned part of the bakery, he began building. They were known as Henry's Drive-In Stand. Mm-hmm. And then Paul, of my generation, he our folks were always in Bread, the Forest Baking Company, and it belongs to some other chain now. But I worked on the Bread with my uncle, and he did swamping, which is put all the loaves of bread on the wall, on the truck, and the old Ford would pull up the hill and go down by Angela's Temple in L.A., and then I would help him take in the bread to all the restaurants. He's the biggest provider of Pullman bread. Now, you know why they call it Pullman bread.
Nope.
Pullman bread was because a Pullman was the big car that you slept in when you went across country.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And I slept in an upper berth all the time. My wife and I slept in an upper berth one night.
Really?
Years later. Oh, I lived in a great time.
So when you said that you served the customers with a smile.
Smile?
Did you ever give them a hug?
No, they're sitting in the car, but you just smile at them, and no, we didn't hug at all in those days.
Well, let's...
No, hugging comes with another generation.
Well, then... I think maybe it's time for us to be hugging.
Okay, so? We will.
Right, well, let's
we will. Mm. Good. The
let's
human touch out, is so
let's
important.
Send out a, let's look at the people in the chat room. We've got Button Monkey and Mr. Kiki.
And Don
is here. We want to...
Welcome
to Hug Nation. And to those of you who will be listening to this on archive, we will... think of you now, and if those of you across the hallway and across the street and across the town and across the country, we think of you in our mind's eye. We think about people in our family, think about our friends, think about those that maybe you wouldn't put on your friends list, maybe those people that are might even be causing you some grief. And we think about the people all over the world who might be in pain or in fear and in from that place, or maybe not being the best people they could be for the planet. We're thinking about them specifically as we grab ourselves by the shoulders, mm-hmm. and we hold on and give a squeeze, and we squeeze not our shoulders, but the shoulders of all those other people, all those people that we are connected to by the very nature of us all being conscious beings on this planet, all full of life force, all part of the same one flow of energy. And we squeeze and we send out that love and that energy, and we feel the arms grabbing us as the arms of the other. We feel Kiki's arms, and we feel Button Monkey's arms, and we feel Dawn's arms squeezing ours, and you feel ours, and we create this network between us. And as we connect to each other, we shoot out all the dark places in the earth and try to shine some light, maybe make some smiles and ease some fear.
Beautiful.
We just take a few seconds and just stay in silence and feel that connection to all the people. Feel part of the one.
Humanoids are all bound together. We're one. If we only would recognize it and let our spirits move toward each other.
We thank you for joining us. Happy Hug Nation. We love you, and we will see you. Oh, next week we're going to... Well, stay tuned to HugNation.com for what's going on next week. Otherwise, we'll see you here every Tuesday. At this time, we'll send out love to you, and we will feel your love. Thanks for making the world a brighter, more loving, more pink place.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you. Strange what you think of when you said friends. I was burying a woman who was a prostitute, and we're not sure whether she killed herself or the guy killed her. But the mortician called me in Bellingham, Washington, said, "Will you have a service for this lady? She said, "She's a beautiful gal, but she sure messed up her life." And so I did, and I said, "What do I do?" And he said, "Well, here." He handed me a poem, and I memorized it.
Do you still know it?
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
"There are no friends like old friends, and none so good and true. We greet them as we meet them, as roses greet the dew. No other friends are dearer, though born of kindred mould. While we prize the new ones, we cherish more the old. There are no friends like old friends, where'er we dwell or roam, in lands beyond the ocean or near the bounds of home. And when they smile to gladden, or sometimes frown to cheer," I've run out of it.
I'm impressed you knew that.
No. And when they smile to gladden, or sometimes frown to cheer, we fondly wish those old friends were always near. There are no friends like old friends to help us with the load that all must bear who journey over life's uneven road. And when unconquered sorrows and weary hours invest, the kindly words of old friends are always found the best."
Nice job. That's good.
Corny poem, but it was a good one. That fitted perfectly. We are friends.
And you said that at the service?
Yeah. Funny. It's all built in the brain. The brain is a great computer. It's amazing. It's
pretty impressive.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Oh, thank you for that.
Well, thanks for coming.